Interview with Dr. Martha Akava, Head of the Department of Geography, History and Environmental Studies at the University of Namibia in Windhoek. Interview conducted by Dag Henriksen in Basel, 27th of August 2015. Our guest, Dr. Akava, is a Namibian historian who obtained her PhD from the University of Basel in Switzerland in 2010. She conducted her PhD on the topic of the sexual politics of the Namibian liberation struggle. Since then, she is heading the department in Windhoek and is involved in various research, publication and exhibition projects in Namibia as well as in collaboration with Basel. She recently published her PhD in the BAB Publishing House. The book has the title The Gender Politics of the Namibian Liberation Struggle. It's a publication in the Basel Namibia Study Series number 13. We talk with Dr. Akava about her personal experiences as a historian working in Namibia and on her view on Namibian historiography and archives. Dr. Akava, it's a pleasure to have you here once again in Basel. You have come to Basel with 8 Namibian students and a colleague in order to open the so-called USOCOS exhibition on African photography in this central Namibian town. Tell us perhaps more about the exhibition and the project which gave rise to it.
Dag, thank you very much for having me. And I'm happy to be back, as you said. Of course, I studied here and I've been coming here. So this time I came with a colleague, Vilo Shiweda, and 8 students. We worked on a collaborative project with the University of Basel, with Giorgio Misha and Lorena Rizzo, to be exact. The project is about the history of USOCOS, looking at it through four women that had an archive of photographs of their lives and their families. And of course, that brings out the life of USOCOS at the time. We look at issues of segregation, of course. It was a trend in Namibia and in South Africa to locate people. So we are seeing the history of that relocation to the locations, or to the location, as we call it in Namibia, in Namibian language. We see the history of the social life coming out through sport, of course, netball, soccer, band. So we are seeing a social life of that of that time. Also, what comes out strongly in this exhibition is the history of the railway in Namibia, and USOCOS being the biggest hub of the rail at the time, trains coming to get service there, and so on and so on. So the project is basically about the history of USOCOS up to the 1960s.
Let me change the topic. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us why you have become a historian? I hope this is not a too personal question.
It's not so much personal. I did history at high school, and my first degree was in education. And as you are trained to become a teacher, you are also trained to teach school subject, what they call school subject. So I picked English and history. Many reasons why I picked that, but I have to say my interest in history was really enhanced by the lecturers that we had at the time. Maybe I can mention Jeremy Sylvester as one of a historian or the lecturer that we had. And I can call him an activist historian. So he was really full of energy, and he directed us into doing things. We are a first group of Namibians to do a degree in education. Namibia got independence in 1990, and the university opened in 1992. So I think it was still, the university was still trying to find itself. So by the time we came in 1996, we were the first group to do a degree in education. And for that, we are also allowed to write a mini thesis, because now it's a degree. So Jeremy, he was an activist historian, as later we called him, and drew us into that activism. So for more than before, we were aware of what changes we can make as historians. Our main aim at the time was to rewrite our history as Namibians. And also given the fact that we have a lot of history which is not documented, it's not written. Given the history of Namibia, we just got independence, things were written from a different perspective. We, especially my group of 1996 and a few years later, we felt we have an obligation to rewrite our own history from our own perspective. That's how the love of history started, and it kept growing. And as what I also do now as a lecturer is to give that message that we need to study our own history, we need to understand it, and we need to rewrite it, because there are so many things that are not written about Namibian history, and we shouldn't sit and wait for people to come and write. Of course they can come and write, but we also need to rewrite our own history ourselves.
Do you think there is nowadays a different attitude among students towards this message than sort of nearly 20 years ago when you were a student?
I think the message is there, but I have to confess we have a I've said it many times. We have a big challenge, I have to put it that way. People think natural science is better than social science. So the message from the top is mainly focusing on, I don't want to say proper science or pure science, but they think becoming a scientist, becoming an engineer, a geologist is more important. But there is still a number of students that we, I don't want to say convinced, but that they are convinced that writing history is also important as biology or as physics or chemistry. We still have students that are interested in doing history, which for me is quite good.
I assume it's not necessarily a question of numbers, but it's a question of getting the message across to a group of students which would become dedicated with regard to research and yeah. Rewriting. That obviously makes sense. But coming back to your sort of own education, why did you choose for your PhD the topic of the sexual politics of the Namibian liberation struggle?
My question initially came out of, as I said, the first project that we did, Posters in Action. The posters that we got to work with, and I also have to say I didn't see many of them before the project. The posters project women as active participants in the liberation struggle, that comes out quite strongly in the posters. But it wasn't the way I saw it. It was not the same after independence. You don't see women prominently projected as having actively participated. So one of the questions that I wanted to ask is, what happened to these women in the posters? They were in the posters, but after independence, where are these women? Where did they go? So then I wanted now to pursue that question and find out was this projection of women in images a true reflection of what SWAPO stood for? Or was it just an ideological thing that they wanted to give an impression that we are also including women in the liberation struggle? Or what was this all about? So then that was the primary thing, the primary idea that I wanted to pursue. And of course, as a PhD, a lot of other questions come out of it. And that's how the PhD was shaped in the end.
I do remember that in the wake of a conference in Windhoek, a large history conference organized in 2009, if I'm not mistaken, the title of your paper, The Sexual Politics of the Namibian Liberation Struggle, did cause issues. And after your presentation, there was some debate. You now have published the thesis and you did change the title. It's now called The Gender Politics of the Namibian Liberation Struggle. Your book is out, I believe, now 1.5, close to 2 years. What kind of reactions did you get in Namibia? And did you get any reactions from those who in 2009 did take issues with you?
I have to confess that before the publication, I expected different reactions. I was aware that this kind of publication might, of course, trigger different reactions. I was not ignorant about that. 2009, of course, the conference, a lot of debate that came out of it, as expected, and I thought it's okay to get that kind of reaction. I think we, as historians, as I said, we have an obligation, if I can put it that way, to rewrite our own history. We don't have to write about beautiful things all the time. I could write about flowers, they're beautiful. But I also think we can write about difficult things, unpleasant things, things that people don't normally talk about in an everyday conversation. We had a talk before the launch of the book organized in Windhoek, and some of those people that were at the 2009 conference also came. And the reaction was quite different. It was the way I looked at it, it was more positive. It was more like, yes, things happened. Some things were not good that happened during the struggle, and we are happy that someone is talking about it, if I can put it that way. There are prominent politicians that were in that talk that said things like that, and for me that was an encouragement.
This, of course, also might indicate that between 2009 and 2015, some other debates must have taken place, which made some politicians realize that your contribution is a constructive contribution, even if it puts sort of the finger to some difficult aspects of the past of the Namibian liberation struggle.
It looks like that. I think also maybe the dynamics are also changing. One has to look at different environment or climate in terms of politics, and of course the way people react depends on that political environment. I think the dynamics are also changing politic-wise, which I think allows this type of criticisms to be accepted. Of course, you have the hardcores that don't want to accept, but the way I'm seeing things is that I think there's still space for this type of narratives that are not, that are not glorifying the struggle, so to say. I think there is space for those type of narratives to come out. And I think that should be allowed.
But is there a danger that this space might narrow down?
Maybe. I mean, there are different reasons why people might want to do things or might not want to do things. People might have different agendas, so to say, or people might think, I have something to lose if I tread on that area. But I think people should not operate that way.
And students, if I may ask, they take up some of these topics and pursue some of the research which spilled out of your thesis? Interest?
I, for instance, this year had to sit with more than two students that are looking at issues of women and gender. And some have already made it very clear that it came out of this, or the, not so much of the inspiration, but the idea came out of this publication. So it looks like also our students are also going towards a direction of going into areas that are a bit difficult to deal with. And I, as I said, of course, agreeing to publish that is something that I believe that we need to do that. History doesn't have to be, we don't have to wash it and make it clean, but we can try and reflect as truthful, if there's anything like that, as possible. Just to give a representation of what happened. Sometimes things were not clean, sometimes things were not easy. And for me, it's a challenge for an academic, if you want to be quite objective, that don't try to wash it. Present it, of course, in a most sensitive way, but present it as it was. You don't want to hurt people, you don't want to accuse, so to say, but don't try to wash and clean it. Otherwise, it is discrediting everything else. For me, that's my personal position.